Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster, and you are watching and listening to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network audience. We are so glad to be with you today. Yeah, today we are a fresh word, seeking a fresh word from God, finding out, you know, just a simple, basic, you know, everyday question like, what the heck's going on?
No doubt.
And you know what? Our God speaks. He tells you what's going on. And then when he tells you what's going on, and we're going to be sharing with you some of the things, you don't have to worry about, I don't know if I can read my Bible. I don't think I can pray. And when you know what's going on, you're like, excuse me, I'm going to go pray for 4 hours.
Yes.
Because I got to get a word. You know what I'm saying? So I'm so glad that you joined us today on VFN Radio, watching on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what, the team that brings this thing to pass is totally amazing. It is amazing. I'm so proud of all those that labor intensely what's going on. So I appreciate you guys keeping us all in your prayers. You have the people that are humiliated on the front of the screen, and then you have people who laugh at our humiliation behind the screen. But it actually takes a lot of us to be able to pull this off for you, a fresh word. And just to let you know, everybody who works hard to bring this to you every day, they abide with God. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but they actually do have a personal relationship with God. Go figure, isn't that something?
True story.
You know, and so, everybody has their time with God, and that's why we come together and amen, because mm-hmm. we were hearing mm-hmm. from the same God and the same Lord and all that kind of stuff, and well, praise God. So here we are. We have so many things we want to share with you today. We want to get to our Ian list and knock that puppy out right up front. You know, speaking of Kashmir,
oh my gosh,
that'd be the new name, right? Kashmir. What's up, Kashmir?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it Kashmir? Was that the word? Kashmir?
Oh, fleece.
Oh, what's up, Fleece? What's up, Fleece? Well, here we are. Former President Bill Clinton, a previous interview of his was broadcasted around the United States, probably the world, last night. And a key to helping us understand, you know, what is happening and what's going on is he talked about it. Mm. He talked to him. We're going to be sharing about that today because one of his mentors is in the history sense that he wants to be able to be like he said in 1996. He wanted to be like Theodore Roosevelt. He didn't use the word fundamentally transform, but he wants to have a transformational presidency mm-hmm. basically without war.
Right.
And then we're looking like, did they just hire a community organizer for 8 years to get everything organized so that President Hillary Clinton can come in and begin to, I mean, you think, I mean, it looks like, that was one of his desires, and one of the elders of the world, as he said, called himself. Yeah. And wow, from Hot Springs. Anyway, so then we're also going to talk about the NSA. Was it Richard Clark? Richard Clark gave a proposal to the president along with the people that he selected for mm-hmm. his committee. And this is something important to talk about because we don't know our Constitution. We don't understand how we got here and how we stay here. And with that, one of the choices they said that, you know, I think it was like 35 suggestions and they're going to wait till the middle of the four blood moons to decide what to do with it. But one of them immediately they said, no, we want to talk about this because they said one of the suggestions was get the military from being over this.
Get them out.
Get them out. Or is it get them out?
I'm asking you.
Oh, no, I think get them over it, being over it. You need the military in it probably, but not being over it, over the NSA, which is the National, help me out with that again because I went blank on it.
National Security Agency.
Yeah, National Security Agency, which is, I think, is also known named EPIC. It's called EPIC. And Snowden is being vindicated, it looks like, through some of the stuff. But what you have is you have Fourth Amendment violations, and that's what the federal judge was talking about. But what Richard Clark recommended, one of the recommendations from this panel that was chosen by the president, President mm-hmm. Barack Obama, was take the military out from over it, put mm-hmm. a civilian over it. And you may think, I mean, the first natural tendency is going, well, wouldn't the military be better than this? Mm. Better than a civilian? We have to understand, this is a government, a civilian government, that we're going to talk about how the Constitution tells us very specifically, this is how things are run. You are the one over this country. And one of you may decide to be over it and put in your name to run for the civilian to be over the entire country. It's called President of the United States. And the military constitutionally is only supposed to be able to protect us from enemies outside our borders. They're not supposed to be over anything over you. Mm. And that's a violation of your constitutional rights. You have to understand the military is totally subjective to the leadership of the commander in chief. He's the commander in chief of the military, but that was to protect us from foreign enemies. And it's kind of a mixture thing. I kind of get it in regards to, you know, technology has kind of mixed all that together, mm-hmm. but you cannot just undo our Fourth Amendment rights. You can't undo the Constitution. You can't put soldiers over America's phone calls.
Right.
But what happened was he said immediately, no, we're not going to put a civilian over that. It's like, we put a civilian over the country. You, one of them, right. over, you know, for the, do we trust you to lead the country? And the and, you know, why not have a civilian? And the thing about it, the civilian's answer to you, the military answers to him. And so you want somebody over every department that's actually civilian that answers to you as a people. It's one of you, one of us. And so we want to talk about that. And that's because we're CI, constitutionally ignorant. We don't realize that is just like an immediate. You don't put military over civilians in America. Mm-hmm. The martial law may kick in and something like that. That's a little bit different, mm-hmm. may happen, but I'm not talking about that. We're talking about just every day, all the phone calls, you know, and that's it. I mean, even the one that's ambassador to China, I believe he is. I mean, this is a guy that's in the cabinet. I remember him saying once, he says, I just wave at my computer knowing that they're watching me anyway.
Oh.
And it's like, okay, he's in the know. And what it is, if America's not watching you, some other country's watching you. Mm. And if you don't know this too, that even if you lock down all the leaders in America and say, you will not spy on us or our neighbors, understand this is how it's always been done anyway, you know, reportedly, is that Canada spies on us and we spy on Canada. Israel spies on us and we spy on Israel. And then we sell those intelligence. We give that intelligence because that's not unconstitutional, mm-hmm. for us to be able to get the intelligence of somebody else. You know what I'm saying? It's like, turn to God, not to technology. If you have not heard the segments on Neil Postman, you have to understand that technology is not the answer. God is the answer. And it's interesting, too, that they talk about an image. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll be worshiped in the mm-hmm. end, and it's really just an image. It's a motherboard. and ones. Yeah. And ozone ones. Interesting. Couldn't even make it a two. And if we get a chance, and I really want to share about this, is prophecy, talking about Revelation chapter 18. Understand that the Revelation is not written in order. And there is a city called Babylon that falls in an hour. We want to just ask the question, is that city New York City? Mm. We want to share with you some things that God has shared with us. And we just want to ask the question outright. And there's a lot of people going, it is not. It's like, relax. We're just going to ask the question. If it ain't, it ain't. If it is, run. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about that coming up after the break. We'll talk to you in just a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can a student be punished for not participating in a school event because of a religious commitment? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a 17-year-old girl in my church, and we preach and teach that the Bible, you know, clearly states to be faithful to church and everything. This girl has taken this to be a conviction of her faith, where she goes to a public school and is in a band class, but because she is missing one band concert to go to a church service, the teacher is telling her that she's going to fail the class for the year.
Okay, there is no way that could happen. I mean, they could try to do that, but that cannot be the way it's supposed to be. And in a situation like this, they're supposed to give her an exemption. If a concert was scheduled, say, on Yom Kippur, would they say they're going to give the student an F because they're not coming to a concert on Yom Kippur? Of course not. Same thing here on church attendance. That's just wrong.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Merry Christmas to all of our listeners and viewers out there. You're listening to VFN Radio on VFN TV. Joining me is Pat and John. We want to first go right into another key component, understanding of what's taking place, I believe, just jumped out to me last night. Because last night, had the opportunity to watch Barbara Walters interview people in the past, at least some of them. Many of them we just fast-forwarded through. But one was President Bill Clinton. And when he was president in 1996, and you got to hear, because we were talking about, and we need to make this related to children of the night versus children of the day, Alinsky's children versus Jesus's children, understanding that our president, for example, our current president, President Barack Obama, was running against Hillary Clinton for president. And but they actually, they're two friends. They've been together for years. They both are Alinsky followers. She wrote a paper that's locked up. We need to start a movement. Unlock that thesis.com. You know, I'm just joking. Those things so repulse me. Like, I'm going to go to your site and register for that. You just put a flag out here. Here I am. Yeah. Anyway, so.
All right.
But it's like this thesis they locked down about Alinsky, which is community organizing.
Mm-hmm.
Alinsky Tactics, a book that's dedicated. Alinsky wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, and it's dedicated to Lucifer, the first one who organized and got his own kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more about that. And I'm just telling you what is. I'm just telling you what is. It's just time for us to face what is. And but also President Obama was also one of Alinsky's, was mentored by Alinsky, and I believe he was hired by him for 4 years, according to the Chicago Tribune. At least what's written on the back of Rules for Radicals is this book is dedicated to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. The back of the book is dedicated, and you can see this on the VFN Torch. So he taught the tactics for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand the tactics, and we took each tactic one at a time, I believe it was 13 tactics, mm-hmm. and we shared with the Alinsky tactic, which would be a dark tactic, mm-hmm. and then we shared with you what God's Word says about that, which would be the light tactic. And it goes all the way to the point, and God just revealed to us as we were, you know, on the journey, and God's revealed. And we started off like, hey, you know, teach us, God. And we just learn out loud. If you hadn't noticed it yet, we just learn out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And can't talk, well, use up too much time talking about how many lessons we've learned. But and so they're running. You remember, you had President Barack Obama run, Senator Obama running against Senator Clinton. Mm-hmm. And the only senator to that point in history was only Kennedy. He's the only senator that ever became president.
Really?
I believe there was never another senator that became.
Hmm.
That's something, senator. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I could be wrong. Anyway, so the and so and either way,
you're gonna learn something new.
And so see, we're learning out loud. That's right. Give us a moment. And so when Senator Barack Obama becomes president, it's like the second senator ever to become a president from Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you can see why, because Senate doesn't really represent the state, the governing too well. I mean, yeah, you can actually be a community organizer and boom.
You can be president.
You can be president.
Like, you don't run anything.
Did you, anyway, but we're praying that God would give him wisdom, and God can take simple fishermen and people like us and can use us. So God has the ability to give us wisdom, mm-hmm. how to do things. So what's going on? Why, you know, because they really thought it appeared that Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a shock wave that went across. I mean, like being shocked and stunned that all of a sudden she was being the less likely selection. And so I guess behind the scenes, according to President Obama's pastor, and you can hear him say this on The Torch, He said, you have to understand, he was selected before he was elected. So what happened behind the scenes, it appears that the strategy is 16 years of organizing. This is the strategy, 16 years of organizing. But the selected crew, which President Obama was the least likely, by the way, to be selected according to them. And you can watch the whole interview. We have the whole interview that's there because they were looking for somebody that could bring a transformational presidency. In other words, the nation would be transformed. Well, that normally happens in war. Transformations like that happen in war.
Mm-hmm.
And sad to say, when you look at Woodrow, he wanted things to be transformed in America. And so even though he ran against war, he went to war. Even though FDR, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt ran against war, he actually transformed the nation by going to it. And then we start looking, you know, so Barbara Walters is interviewing President Bill Clinton, who basically was running against Barack Obama, Senator Barack Obama, him and his wife were basically. Two for one is what the president said when he got in.
Mm-hmm.
And which just makes sense. All spouses help each other and that type of thing. But, you know, but he says this key statement that they clip out and they play. And it's like, oh, maybe, and this is not meant in an insulting way in any way. Reality is reality. Maybe when they went into that room and they had that talk with the whoever Bergs and all those people mm-hmm. who do the selecting and the people that were watching with the JFK Library interview and before they actually selected who they were going to select,
mm-hmm.
That they said, listen, we first need to bring in an intense community organizer to work the community for 8 years to get it ready for what you want to do, because it's going to take some organizing. And then I'm just theorizing. I'm just telling what God's laid on my spirit, what's really going on, because it feels like, understand, these kind of transformations that are taking place right now only happen during war. That's why you feel so ripped up inside, but yet it seems to be not at war, but mm-hmm. inside we're going like, I feel like our borders are being destroyed. I feel like we're losing our economy. I feel like our military is being destroyed. I feel like that's what happens in war. You lose mm-hmm. through attrition, not through attrition, but you start losing ships.
Mm-hmm.
You start losing soldiers. You start losing your safety over the borders. You start losing your original founding document. Eventually your flag goes down. But it's like we're having those losses now, but we're not at war. Mm-hmm. And you feel that. And it's like, it does, it's right. It does feel like war. It feels like war. And so this interview, when I heard President Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton is a lot like President Barack Obama. I mean, he's so powerful when he talks. I don't care. I mean, you just like him. You like him when you hear him talk, you think, wow. And when President Barack Obama talks, if you listen to him, if it's not in stressful moments, that you're just thinking, man, I got to be careful because he's saying things against God, but I really like the way he's saying it. Mm. It's like, oh my goodness, you know?
Wow.
And we have to understand what is the fruit of this and listen to what he said. Listen to what he says, right? We're just going to hear it. This is President Bill Clinton in 1996 being interviewed by Barbara Walters. And you're going to be surprised because this explains what a transformational presidency is, and the way he compares it is, he wanted us to be just like Teddy Roosevelt, and he wanted to be done in such a way, but done without war. Listen up. This is President Bill Clinton, 1996.
I would like to be the second president in the history of the country. The first was Theodore Roosevelt. To lead this country through a period of dramatic change within America and in the world without a major war.
Think about it. In America and the world without a war.
Hmm.
I mean, Secretary, you got to see this. We're going to put related links up to the segment, but we're sourcing this out. We're not just saying this. I mean, I would rather not have this be going on, but we got to pay attention. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is the most traveled Secretary of State in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our nation's history.
In our nation's history, which would be probably the world because of the resources. And then President Bill Clinton has placed himself at one time one of the seven elders of the world, along with Branson and a couple others.
Wants to be the president of the world. I mean, Time magazine put him on the cover with the globe.
Right.
You know, he wants to be the president of the world.
And the first thing the people who selected him told him to do, which is his pastor said, he's got to do what the people selected him to do first before he can do what you want him to do. You know, maybe he made a decision. I don't know. Maybe he made a decision. It's like, I understand what I got to do. And if you're in politics, I mean, the closer you get to politics, and I appreciate those who stand up and lead our country, and I pray for them. That's how we're a very political system.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have a gut for it because you just want to just go woof your cookies when you get close to any of it, because the word politician means compromiser. And as a Christian, there's some things you can't compromise on.
That's right.
And those are the ones that stand out like a sore thumb, like Ted Cruz and others that says, I'm sorry, can't compromise on that, but we can do this, or Michelle Bachmann. And so the world and the nation, well, there's the global initiative.
Mm-hmm.
He's organized. They're organizing the world. You have to understand that and I'm just speaking prophetically to you, what God's revealing and unfolding. And this is how you got to search out a matter. This is what God's, you know, it's the glory of God to hide a matter. And it's the glory of kings to search it out. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we're a royal priesthood, a nation of kings under our King Lord. And we just got to search it out. This is how it works. And we're seeing that. And I felt that all along. I've been saying, if you've been listening, that the world's being organized. The world's being organized. And we're going to be talking today about Revelation chapter 18, about the city, great city Babylon. And you have to understand that when you read Revelation, even 17, I believe it is, there's 10 kings that have not yet come, but will come. And I kind of see that as the world's going to be in 10 quadrants. And there'll be 10 kings over those quadrants. And they're only going to be put in power long enough to be able to hand that power over to Lucifer, which he'll have for 60 minutes. Did you enjoy the drive? Whack! And so it's like amazing right now. So when you look at when Hillary Clinton, and this has nothing to do with politics, wake up, church. If somebody puts something in a political conversation, does not mean you cannot preach about truth. That her assistant, reportedly the daughter of one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, mother and father, is her assistant in the Secretary of State, unvetted, and her husband's running for the mayor of New York, the city. Well, hold on, we got the city. And of course, you have to understand how this thing works with, you know, Ahab and Jezebel and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, it's hard for a man to survive in that environment in regards to sexually, because you just get seduced by power, money, and sex. It just takes you away. Next thing you know, you're in the library, you're checking out a book, you know, you're looking through the L's and then the M's and this, like, anyway. So anyway, so I was just reading a book so reportedly, according to the New York Times, a huge communist sympathizer has now been elected as the mayor of New York, right?
De Blasio.
Yeah, De Blasio. And that just seems kind of freaky to make that statement, you know, when you think about communist sympathizer, because we're so politically correct now. But I'm talking about economies, methods of government. I'm not talking about whatever else. I'm talking about gray dresses versus pink dresses. We're talking about big government versus free men. And she, the senator of New York, went from the Secretary of State, became the most traveled in the world, while her husband has the global initiative, while her assistant is running for the mayor of New York, which he didn't make it, but they didn't put a communist sympathizer in, which believes in big government. That we're looking at, this could definitely be Revelation chapter 18.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, it's not in order. We got so much. We're going to share with this. We're going to continue this conversation in our next program, which will be in just a couple moments. Remember, we have four programs back to back. Don't miss them. We're going to be talking prophecy. Is New York City Babylon? We're going to look at that verse. We're going to look at that scripture and think, oh my goodness. And we're going to share with you a few prophetic dreams and vision that God has given us about New York City. You're going to be really surprised. What's so cool is you're going to be warned. And this is what God says. He says, get away from her. Because I don't want you falling to her stuff, and I don't want you being destroyed by what I'm fixing to do to her. And we're going to talk about David Wilkerson. We're going to talk about some words that we've gotten, and even Marjorie Hamilton down on the Gulf Coast, and different words that have been given over New York City. Maybe she's Babylon, and she falls in a day, in an hour. We'll see you on the other side.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, you're giving, your contributions. We're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Nationwide.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. Restoring the purity in giving. Giving without regret. Imagine having a wonderful time of being able to celebrate others and to be able to get them gifts and go through a gift-giving season and it to be all said and done and all you have is good memories. No regret, no debt, no 5 years to pay it off. Listen, we have to get a right perspective of giving again. We have to understand it's supposed to be a good experience. We have to restore the purity in giving today. A special offer available this week to you at VFNTV.com. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on special offer, an offer of any amount, and it could be yours. I encourage you, get it now, listen to it, so that you can truly restore the purity in giving, and you'll be giving without regret this Christmas season.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I just want to welcome you to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about, in this program, more prophecy about, you know, Babylon in regards to Revelation chapter 18. We're just asking the question out loud and learning out loud and searching things out about, is New York City... I mean, when you think about the criteria, when you look at the scripture about Babylon, the only city right now in America that fits this description, you know, is New York City. And we're going to share with you some of the prophetic dreams and visions that God's given us and a few others about the city. But I want you to remember this, because you have so many people that talk about, you know, when the Lord's returning. And 100 years ago, people, you know, argued about it. You know, he's going to come back here. He's going to come back then. He came back. He didn't come back. But everybody that argued about it and debated about it are already with him, because he already came back for them. They died.
Yeah.
And so you can be so dogmatic about your doctrine that you miss God. And the truth is, understand this, that if it applies to one city, and your city's not mentioned, I mean, you're an afterthought. It's easily going to happen to your city. So if you are doing in your city what God says is so evil that the evils come before him and he deals with that city, do you think Babylon's the only city he's going to deal with like that? Do you think Nineveh was the only city that he's ever going to deal with? Do you think that is, I mean, come on, he's letting us know God is the same yesterday and day forever. He could deal with a city like that and not even mess up the prophecy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, if New York City is not spiritual Babylon or Babylon in regards to that, in regards to Revelation chapter 18, then that means all this judgment can come on a particular city. And God deals with cities. He deals with nations. He deals, and more so with cities. It's amazing how God deals with cities. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, Babylon rises up somewhere else in the future and it has nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, really? Do you want to argue? I mean, if you're in the middle of everything that he's talking about in Revelation 8, but you're saying you're not in the Bible, therefore you're not going to suffer the judgment seat of Christ and what's going on. Come on. We have some pretty interesting things that God is showing us, has shown us. And as I meditate on Revelation chapter 18, you can't help but say, man, this sure seems like somebody I know.
Yeah.
It just seems like somebody I know. And if you missed our first program today, don't forget, we're four programs back to back, that last night, an interview was played from 1996, a former president, Bill Clinton, who unlocked the desire of his heart, the strategy he wanted to transform the world and the nation without war, like Teddy Roosevelt did, but yet without war. And we talked about fundamentally transformed the nation. We talked about the selection committee that says that we were looking for somebody to select. And it was between Hillary Clinton. It was between the perfect hair dude, whatever his name was.
Jonathan Edwards.
And it was between Senator Barack Obama at that time. Mm-hmm. And Senator Barack Obama was last on the list. The first on the list was the perfect hair dude. What's his name again?
Jonathan Edwards.
And... second was, I believe, Hillary Clinton, and the third was, we're watching just an interview on C-SPAN we're talking about, as they were deciding, you know, these are people that had a vision for America. This is not really politics as much as it was like, we kind of see this as where America needs to go. Although, value-wise, you know, as Christians, we would say, I don't think that's a good way for it to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But everybody has, as a citizen, you can express how you feel about values and all. So you got to catch it, because he actually run locks. It just seems like, wait a minute, maybe there's a vision of 8 years, 16 years of community organizing, organizing the world and organizing America in the world as the one of the elders of the world, Bill Clinton, and the most traveled Secretary of State of the world, Hillary Clinton, allow a community organizer, Barack Obama, to organize everything. Because I was a community organizer. They actually hire you to come in and you organize their community. It's like, why don't you organize your own community?
Right.
And they say, come on, we want you to organize. Like, you know, that didn't last long. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, that's not right. And I'm not saying organizing is wrong, but if you're being organized by darkness, it is. But if you're being organized by light, it's perfect. A good example is that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was an organizer of the light. He was a godly man. He's a minister, Christian minister, and also a lawyer and a good American citizen that stayed in the context under God and under the constitutional law, and he actually promoted the Constitution. He said that we're only holding to you what's on the papers. Mm. He's talking about the Constitution. He said, if this was some other country, this is some other nation, I totally get it. I'd get what you're doing. But this is not that. This is America. And so I have a dream. I have a dream that we'll live up to the standards of our forefathers, God's original intent for this nation. I believe that justice is going to come down like a mighty river. Mm-hmm. And he was talking, he was not coming against America. He was helping us find the America God intended and to deal with the sins of our fathers and get back to a place in humility before God and understand that all of our rights come from God. And his dream and his vision that a man would be judged by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. And then he dreamed that we would all be holding hands and walking together as one nation. That's his dream. And we've talked about that before. And that's not the dream of Alinsky's children. Their dream is, you know, workers of the world unite. Mm. Their dream is really, it's just one world economy. Their dream is global initiatives. Their dream is one world economy. Their dream is, and it kind of makes sense if you don't know God, if you think you are God, if you made your own God, and that kind of stuff, you know, it kind of makes sense. If technology is now your God, that if you're giving retina scans to everybody in India and the fingerprint for a small micro loan, and the people have never seen a computer before, the first thing they get is a retina scan and a fingerprint. We're just getting the middleman out of the way. You know, just bow down to technology. And so either way, so the question is like, okay, we need to really do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Understand there, I just feel this in my bones. This might not make sense to you, but it totally makes sense to me that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was an apostle that showed us how to be a godly American, how to allow Jesus to organize us in love, to walk out in under the laws of God and under the laws of our Constitution, to be a good, godly American and raise us to our better standards. And he had 10 commandments versus the 13 rules for radicals that our president taught for 4 years and Hillary Clinton wrote a paper on. She wrote a paper on it. And her graduate thesis, well, you have to write, for people don't know that, you have to write a paper when you finish your degree, and you got to, it's called a thesis. You know, what's the theme of your paper? And the theme of her paper was Alinsky. I mean, she was mentored. She was in her church, according to reports, and in Chicago, I believe. And Alinsky came into her youth group and began to talk to her.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
And recruited her and just kind of, you know, and you have to understand, the very church that I was a member of at one time, when they came to us and started talking to us, you know, a lot of people said it's great. Even, you know, a well-respected pastor, you know, it felt good. But it wasn't until we got close enough to see the fruit of what was going on with that kind of stuff that's not the evil intent of that. And so she wrote a paper on it. You have to understand, the very people that are organizing the world understand this, that George Soros, who has been part of easing down economies and making his money off of crashed economies, is over her financial committee. Hmm. The reports are she's over her financial committee. And when Chelsea, their daughter, got married, they got married in George Soros' daughter's house up in the Northeast. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. I'm just saying, you tell me your friends and I'll tell you your future.
That's right.
You know, you tell me your words and I can tell you your heart, because Jesus says that you know a man by what he says, because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. And you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I wouldn't doubt that these, and it's a large crew, we're just talking about a couple, their desire for the nation, the world, is to have a better world. Mm. But all utopias end up in domination and tyranny, because there's people that say, I'm going to follow God. you know? Mm-hmm. And they say, Daniel, you're going to bow down. It's like, no, I'm going to have to follow God.
That's right. That's right.
You know? And so that conflict comes up at some point when they say, everything's good until the point you tell me to bow down to your image. And then once you have to bow down, you have to say no, American Christians. You have to say no. You can't. I don't care what they taught you behind a piece of wood, piece of plexiglass, or a piece of concrete, or sitting on steps somewhere or in some coffee shop. If anybody's taught you anything other than this, if you bow down to the image, if you bow down to the beast, if you take the mark of the beast, even that's just another aspect of that, that you're gonna suffer for that. You're not gonna be saved and worshiping the beast. You can't worship God and the beast. And when you're worshiping anything other than God, you're not worshiping God. And so you have to be, this is what he says. He says over and over again in Revelation, he says, this takes the mind of wisdom. This takes the mind of wisdom. You think about it, that a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom's not knowledge. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. And there's very little wisdom. It's like, you seem so smart, but what you're doing is so stupid. Don't you realize that's going to cost you your marriage? Don't you realize that's going to cost you your income? Don't you realize that's going to cost you? Don't you realize that that's going to destroy the nation? It's like all this knowledge. I mean, we love knowledge today. Give me some more data.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have garages, you know, you could rent places. We have the biggest storage building capacity in the world. America does for our stuff, 32,000 of them. But the but if you look at the data we're storing, it's, what for? I mean, what are you going to do with the data? What are you going to do with that? I mean, think about it. What are you going to do with it? And so we got to get wisdom here and start beginning to ask ourselves, my goodness, this thing is happening before our very eyes. And I've talked about this before, and hopefully they'll make it a related link. And maybe, I think maybe the segment was this. It wasn't before it was. There's that moment where things, it just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Once it happens, people act like it always was, but it wasn't until it was. For example, a steering committee. Right, I want to be on the steering committee. Okay, all right,
my
already.
You know, on the list.
It wasn't, but now it is. But we're glad, you know. And I want a title. Okay, stupid. Okay, anyway. So and so you look at this, you think, you gotta be careful because you're gonna say it. And so many people, the second something happens, they begin to live as if it always was, and they never realize you are like inches away from where it just began. You are seconds away from where it just began, like a car accident. One day you're riding down the road, everything's fine, and then you get hit. You weren't in an accident, then you were in an accident, and your whole life shifts now because you have been in a car accident. But you have to understand, right before it was, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the right before it is right now, and which means we can actually pray, and God can begin to change things and realize maybe what will be different because we humble ourselves and pray. But right in our very faces, we are being organized and we're getting a whole bunch of knowledge, but we have very little wisdom about what to do. And wisdom just comes from a farmer that just says, don't you think that's pretty ignorant? You know, man, it's like, that's what you listen to that. Because Mr. Barkley, for example, God shows him the season, the time we're going to. How old is he now? In his late 80s?
He's almost 90.
Almost 90. Wow. And this is what he says about the times. And we're going to talk about this. He says, I don't even want to be alive, what God showed me. I don't want to be alive because it was a lot like Isaiah had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we got so much more. We're going to be talking about prophetically Revelation chapter 18 when we get back. Is New York City Babylon?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is putting together today, establishing apostolic centers. He has established and is establishing for this next generation, this next season. We refer to them as apostolic centers or hubs, and we've talked about them before. But I want you to listen right now to Paul Keith Davis as he speaks about it prophetically as it's happening. Listen up.
We're living in the hour right now where the angels that gather message is relevant, where storehouses are being identified. Let's call them apostolic resource centers. Let's call them freedom outpost centers, as Chuck Pierce says, whatever you want to call it. The Antioch type of a model for ministry is relevant right now. Places are being identified. Leadership is being identified. The hearts of men are being examined by the eyes of the Lord, roving to and fro to see whose heart is completely His, so that He may strongly support them. And when He does find what He's looking for, He's going to give them authority. He's going to give them authority. Their words are going to have weight. They're going to begin to change the environment. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll prophesy something. We're living in an hour now where prophecy is not optional. It is mandatory. 1 Corinthians 14, you may prophesy, but I'm over in Revelation right now. Revelation 10, you must prophesy. You must prophesy again concerning many nations, tongues, tribes, and kingdoms. Why? Because the Lord has a harvest to bring in. He has a bride to awaken. He has sons of the kingdom to empower. We have some work to do. The Father's business needs to be done. And so I know that these places, Antioch was probably the purest model to what we're going to see today. Jerusalem, of course, was the first model, but it was primarily Jewish, as you know. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says the disciples were scattered. They went to Cyprus and settled primarily in Antioch. And all of a sudden now, the Spirit fell again in Antioch, and it became an apostolic hub where Barnabas went and found Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, brought him back there. They made that their base. They went on three missionary journeys out of Antioch. Antioch became the place where the people were first called Christ people, because they were so much like the Lord. They were identified with Him and His name. Isn't that amazing? And I believe these new models that are about to come today, these prophetic models of apostolic resource centers, of storehouses, of freedom outpost centers, will redefine the Christian definition. You'll be a Christ person. You'll be a person like Christ. John G. Lake had four experiences. On the fourth one, when the glory of the Lord came in and upon him, he said, I became a Christ man. Isn't that amazing? He said, now I didn't just have His power, I expressed His radiant nature. Wow, that blew me away when I read that way back in the 90s when I had my experience on Thrones of the Soul. And so I know the apostolic resource centers this year are being identified, places that will be given authority. We're going to win people in. We're going to go out into the wheat fields that surround the storehouse. We're going to prophesy people in. Our intercession will not just simply be intercession now. It'll be proclamation. It'll be decrees. It'll be taking authority, saying, bring them in. We're claiming them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them up. You know, addiction, give them up. Pornography, give them up. Whatever it is, you got to give them up. Why? Because He's given you authority to overcome, authority to destroy these shackles that have held this harvest in at bay. And they're going to come in. And when they do, we're going to train them. We're going to be given this incredible grace to train and facilitate their not only being set free of all the stuff, but also to lay a foundation of truth in them that will be so fast and so rapid it will scare you.
VFN Dream Center, think about this. An apostolic center on the Gulf Coast for the purpose of reaching the world. This is what was said, I believe, by Dr. Michael Brown. If you want to do something for God, find out what God is doing and dive in. Give yourself fully to it. Listen, this is what God is doing in the earth. He's establishing apostolic centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. It is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe it is. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas. Just pray a blessing over you and your family. I just speak a new, fresh wind over you of hope and light, and that 2014 will be a year of abiding with God, spending time hearing His voice, you having that wonderful relationship that He intended from the garden, but we got back through His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, now take up and eat from the tree of life. And it's an amazing thing. If you don't have an abiding relationship with God, we encourage you. We encourage you to go to iabide.org and begin to abide with him. Spend time with him. We have a plan for you, waiting for you right there at iabide.org. Request your free plan today. We want to talk about in this next few moments, and also we'll continue on in our next program today. We have four programs back to back. We want to talk about ask a question. This is the question we want to ask. We want to ask the question, is New York City the Babylon that's being talked about in Revelation chapter 18? First, you have to realize those that study the book of Revelation is that it's not written in order. So you can't say, well, that's chapter 18, so that means 17 had to happen before 18, and that verse had to happen before this verse. I mean, think how, if God wrote it like that, how many people go, I got it, you take three steps, two blocks, we're there, and this is it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, God, you know, hides a matter, and we have to search it out. So it's not wrong to ask the question, where's Babylon? Where's this Babylon at? And, of course, there is a natural Babylon, and they're working hard right this moment to reestablish it, you know. And if Zedekiah becomes a leader after Jehoiakim, which is a third in line from Josiah, mm-hmm. it will be Babylonian captivity. The question is, does that mean that those in America will be in captivity? Wouldn't that be something?
Mm.
But the question is a city. We're talking about a city. Because when you hear God talk about the ocean and the beast standing in the ocean, but he explains that the ocean is people. It's not a beast standing in your, you know, Atlantic or Pacific or the Gulf of Mexico or Lake Erie or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is symbolism. God's saying, no, he's going to be standing in the nations, in the people. He'll be amongst us. The dragon will be amongst us. And he will be one of us, you know, one of men, organization, that type of thing. But the question is, you know, are we Babylon? Because he talks about the fall of Babylon. And he says, and so what are the description factors when you talk about this? Because he says, after this, I saw another angel. I'm looking at Revelation chapter 18. Another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor.
Mm.
Okay, there was an angel who came down from heaven, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. What a mighty voice, he shouted. So he began to shout with this mighty voice, and he says, fallen, fallen is New York City. No, he didn't say that. He said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home of demons. And I'm not talking about New Yorkers or anything like that. Please, you know, we have listeners from New York. We're not talking about that. But we're just looking. We're asking the question. If it is, because we're going to read in this a little bit later. He says, get out of the city. Get out of the city. What did he tell Lot? Get out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
What did he tell his people? Get out of the city. Get out of the city. And can you imagine wanting to stay? Mm. Lot's wife wanted to stay. Oh, but I like the food, and I like the stuff, and I got so many friends here. It's like, hey, you got Facebook. You can just like them on Facebook. So it says, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons. Understand, demons, you don't see demons, but they actually use, possess, and oppress people. So you look at what people are doing, and if it's demonic activity, that's a person who's oppressed by demons type thing, demonic activity. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And, you know, powers, principalities, and that type of thing. And so, I'm not calling people demons. I'm just calling people love controlled by demons. I got a good friend that's controlled by... Okay, she has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird, for all nations. This is where we're getting into the scripture factor. For all nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. So think about it. I mean, there's a lot of nations with a lot of money. There's a few, you know, old rich nations that have this great wealth. But everybody's not showing up to those sandy malls and those sandy, you know, it's like, do you have any shrubbery? I mean, is there like a tree out here or something? And but when you come to America, how many people are jumping over the borders of other nations wanting to come in, like they're wanting to come into America? How many, and he's like, he's talking about all the nations have drunk. And I remember a graph being done once, and the graph of income from the beginning of creation to today. And it was like including King Solomon and all that, and how much money, personal wealth people had. And so the graph was just sort of like this. It just kept going and going and just a little bit up and down, up and down. And all of a sudden, the 1900s in America, around 1901, 1980 something, the industrial age, mm-hmm. America went like this. I mean, this is everywhere. This is like David. This is like Solomon. This is all that. And it went straight like this. And the graph went so high, it could not even fit in the room.
Wow.
And so we're living in this huge prosperity. Because, and it's important because he's saying here, all the nations have drunk from her. And many people, I mean, if they say this, they say, if America sneezes, that the world gets a cold. The whole nation, the whole world, all the nations of the world, the kings of the world now are watching her and seeing what she's going to do. And what he says here about Babylon, which describes what we're talking about, that they have drunk her maddening wine of her adulteries. In other words, this is what our president, George W. Bush, said, that the people who work at Wall Street got drunk on their greed.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you got to stay tuned. We're coming to the end of this program, but we're going to pick right up in a few moments. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. We're going to find out that first characteristic. Even President George W. Bush nailed it. He says, you got drunk on your greed. You got the, this is the nations. The nations are getting drunk on America's exploits and luxuries and all these different things. We're made a lot of nations and a lot of kings wealthy and a lot of merchants wealthy. So let's just find out, is New York City this Babylon, or does it fit the criteria? Join us on the other side. We'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially, that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.